Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
In for Jim Smalley once again today, I'm Ryan McNally. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Arcola Co-op, offering fuel, food, and drinks on Highway 13. Arcola Co-op, you're at home here. On today's show, the Ag Tech Accelerator based in Regina has created an international partnership with Innovate UK. We also talk with Todd Lewis from the meeting of federal, provincial, and territorial ministers from earlier this week in Guelph, Ontario. Farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And brought to you by Farm Fresh Water. They'll make your well water wonderful and your dugout drinkable. Get your Farm Fresh Water today at farmfreshwater.ca. The Ag Tech Accelerator based in Regina has created an international partnership with Innovate UK. Lee Pham is the Director of Strategic Initiatives and Entrepreneurship with Economic Development Regina.
In regards to the partnership with Innovate UK, Economic Development Regina, Cultivator powered by Kinexus, and Emertech were founding partners in the Ag Tech Accelerator that launched back in June of 2021. And throughout that, one of the key things that we are working towards is cultivating a global Ag Tech hub right here in Regina and Saskatchewan. And through that, we knew that we would need to make the international partnership a key piece of our work here. And so really what this partnership is about is it's really building opportunities for Saskatchewan companies to be able to have new markets within the UK. And then secondly, from the UK's perspective, what it does is it allows for five of the top UK ag tech companies to be able to come here to Regina, Saskatchewan and participate in our first cohort in March of 2022 and really learn about what ag and agriculture is all about here in Saskatchewan and participate in the programming.
So what exactly does this mean for Regina and Saskatchewan as a whole?
Yes, what it means for Regina and Saskatchewan is that we are truly positioning ourselves as a global leader in agriculture and ag tech. It's really showcasing our opportunities that we have at the international level in that we are surrounded by 80% of Canada's farmland. We need to produce more food, being that the food demand is way more than what we can currently produce. And we truly believe that technology and innovation is going to help the agriculture industry in feeding the world. And being able to build these connections is what helps accelerate the opportunity for Regina, Saskatchewan and create new economic opportunities through being able to attract new companies to the region and being able to create new jobs for our city.
So why the United Kingdom?
It happened to be a national fit. I think one of the things was that part of it is the UK actually reached out to us, seeing that they understood our competitive advantage as Regina and Saskatchewan within the agriculture space. And within that, it makes sense being that the province of Saskatchewan is looking to grow their international presence. We obviously have the opportunity because of the High Commissioner who does have that connection to Regina, that there's a lot of similarities between our focuses when it comes to the sectors and the opportunities. And we were really able to just align on that opportunity. And the first one that we have here is to build that partnership with Innovate UK on the ag tech side of things.
So is there hope that this possibly expands to other countries in the near future?
Yes, that is definitely the hope that we have. This definitely plants a seed for us in building our first international partnership. And we look to continue working really hard to secure additional international partnerships and working closely with our provincial and federal partners to do so.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I think I would say it's an exciting time for Regina. It's an exciting time for the ag and food industry. We have a lot of momentum here with the recent launch of Economic Development Regina's Ag and Food Strategy, and it's partnerships like this. It's programs like the Ag Tech Accelerator that are coming online that are going to help us realize the Regina region's vision to be a global ag and food leader.
That was Lee Pham from Economic Development Regina in the partnership with Innovate UK. This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. Ag ministers and members of the industry all gathered in Guelph, Ontario this week for the Federal, Provincial, and Territorial Ministers Meeting. APAS President Todd Lewis attended the meeting on both behalf of APAS as well as the Canadian Federation of Agriculture.
You're down there speaking to the ministers, all the ministers that were there as well as some that were online. You're speaking with them around where agriculture can be part of the solution to climate change. Climate change is high in the agenda now and really in the general public right across the world, really. And agriculture has a role to play in mitigating climate change. And so we spoke to the ministers about that. And that was on Monday. Of course, they've had their meetings both today and yesterday, all the ministers, Minister Bebo and all the provincial ministers. And today they were talking, the last couple of days, you know, they'll be talking about things like BRM programming and so on. But the focus for our presentation was on climate change and where farmers can fit and producers would either be ranchers or grain and oilseed producers or really all of agriculture have a role to play in mitigating climate change.
And how did those conversations with the ministers go? Obviously, climate change being a polarizing issue, especially on the agriculture side. Just how did those meetings go?
Well, it was a good engagement between the ministers. Not only CFA was there, we had representatives there from the Canadian Cattlemen's Association, canola growers, grain growers of Canada. And so we had a wide cross-section of agriculture there, and as well as the Pork Council that was also at the table. So we had real good conversations. I don't think it's that real polarizing from producers. I think the polarization comes from when we talk about things like carbon tax, how we're going to get credit for the work we've done. It's been a journey that producers have been on, especially in our province, for decades. Just look at minimum till, look at our cropping practices, be it the extension of rotation, better grazing practices. So I think we just need to have more collaboration and a conversation with both government and farmers and producers to talk about, really, there's a lot of opportunity here with climate change and trying to mitigate those problems that are arising from climate change. I think we need to talk more to governments and have them understand the good work that we have done in agriculture and the good work that we're going to do in the future.
Wanted to now switch gears to the Sask Growth Coalition proposal. Why would APAS like to see the province reject said proposal?
I don't think it's an outright rejection. We just want to make it perfectly clear that producers are big ratepayers as well in rural municipalities. We live and work there, of course. And, you know, in many cases, these municipalities are the host of the oil and gas or pipelines or grain elevators is another. Their name is on there. And even use services like the Heavy Construction Association of Saskatchewan. They all signed on to this Fast Growth Coalition request, and I think it's important to realize for the Chamber of Commerce as well that agriculture is a huge part of rural Saskatchewan, and therefore they're big ratepayers at the base of all rural municipalities' tax base. And if we're going to see taxes reduced that is paid by these other entities, there's only one ratepayer, and we just don't want to see that extra burden land on the laps of producers. So I think we want to have conversations. It's always good to have transparency in taxation. Nobody's saying we shouldn't have that, but at the same time, let's realize that agriculture is facing challenges as well, and we certainly don't want to see taxes increase on producers at the expense of producers for the other parts and other industries for them to pay less tax.
How else would this negatively impact producers?
Well, I think it's just the tax base. That's what we're talking about. Autonomy of the rural municipalities is important too. A one-size-fits-all that won't work, tax regime won't work for an area as big as Saskatchewan and really for the amount of development that does occur in different markets. Getting in an RM with heavy oil usage and oil traffic and so on, their needs for and what they have to do for taxation, it's totally different than a mainly rural or agricultural RM that doesn't have that kind of development. So autonomy is going to be important, and every RM has had different experience with development in their RM. So it's important that it's good to have the conversation about it, but at the end of the day, producers don't want to see, the tax base suffer just because it's important that the users that when other industries come into rural Saskatchewan, they have an impact on the roads and can affect grain growers, for instance. They can't transport, may have issues transporting their crops over roads that have been heavily used by the oil and gas industry in wet weather, for instance. That's just one example where producers are always concerned. They realize the impact that industry can have on their local road system. And at the same time, though, they understand that it's an important part of the economy and they're happy to host these activities in their RMs. But again, all I can really emphasize at the end of the day, we want to ensure that producers aren't left holding the tax bill.
That was APAS President Todd Lewis.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio, Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM. It's now time for another beef market update with Ann Wasco, the Gateway Livestock Exchange. Ann, how are you?
I am good this Friday.
Okay, so the weather is headed downwards. What do we see in terms of cattle prices?
Well, no, cattle prices are not going to get mixed up in that that winter scenario. We've had another super week in the U.S. in terms of cash trade. So, of course, last week the market started to move or carried on from the previous week and added again to it this week. So in the south, in Texas, Kansas, 1 to 3 higher, that 130 to 132 kind of before yesterday's holiday, and then carried on in the south. In the north, yesterday, 208 and 133 live. So that's dressed 3 to 5 higher than the prior week. So market's still, you know, chugging along and in good form. We are closely watching, however, though, the cutout, choice cutout did not follow suit. So a week ago, it closed at 290 on the choice cutout. Last night, it was 285. So we've lost a nickel on that. We're going to watch that trend. Normally, typically the seasonal, you know, Q4 high is in November. Was it last week? You know, that's a question we're going to be asking ourselves. Was it last week and the market's going to kind of settle off a bit? We know these prices are sky high at wholesale, you know, $60 a hundred over where we were this time last year for the choice cutout. So it is understandable that there's some fatigue at these levels. But again, from a timing perspective, we'll watch that. And then just to round out the cash here in Canada, in Western Canada, we were slow on the get-go. The markets really struggled. Didn't trade anything last week. Yesterday, a little bit of trade in that 260 to 263 dressed area. That'll be a bit better than the week before, but still, you know, lagging this explosive, you know, pace that we've seen in the U.S. the last couple of weeks.
It's kind of refreshing to see the reverse of some of the price action. In terms of, you know, we talked for so long about the cutout value going higher, cash prices, you know, staying the same or going lower, and here we flipped it a little bit. It's good to see the leverage maybe moving a little bit more to the feeder.
Yeah, and that's the key word. You know, we've talked about leverage so much this year in terms of a negative storyline. Well, this is leverage can improve. Cattle supplies are tightening in the U.S. on the fed cattle side, and this is what should happen. And to see it happening is, you know, kind of a sigh of relief that, okay, yeah, we can get leverage back on the side of the cattle producer. That's great news.
Yeah, you know, during the day, I flip through numerous news radio programs that I listen to kind of throughout the day to kind of get a bit of an idea of what's happening out there. And I'll tell you, this week, there was a lot of focus. And whether it was just bad coincidence, that's when I tuned in, but a lot of mainstream news shows talking a lot about the price of beef at the store. It's getting some attention, and you mentioned the word fatigue, and we'll see where that cutout goes from here.
Yeah, and we know all prices are up. I mean, here in Canada, chicken prices were, retail prices were record high last month as well. But because beef is the highest price of the three proteins, the three main proteins, of course, it does get the attention. But it always is the highest of the three, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, there's some trade data we got to talk about as well.
Yeah, so this came out, since we last talked, and again, following on that, you know, that super month we had in August, both for U.S., Canada, in terms of beef exports. September was still a great month, not a record, not as big as August, but still well over last year. So for beef alone, exports in September were up 22%. So that means our year-to-date is up 25%, and the value piece up 38%. So there is no question 2021 is going to blow 2020's record out of the water in terms of the value of Canadian beef exports. So that's a super story. And, you know, they were up across the board to the U.S., but it's really the story, Japan, Hong Kong, China, Vietnam, South Korea, all of those were up markets as they have been all year for us. On the flip side, and we talked about this a month ago, imports to Canada, and we're a month more current on imports. So this is October. They're down 16% in October, and year to date now down 19%. And again, just less beef coming. We've got big production in Canada, up 11%. So obviously a market that doesn't, you know, bode well for imports.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
Infuse some energy into your next corporate event, customer meeting, or conference with Real Ag Radio, Canada's national agriculture radio show. Create a unique experience at your next event with host Sean Haney, broadcasting Real Ag Radio live on Sirius XM, featuring exciting guests, captivating interviews, and the latest news from the agriculture community. Contact advertising at realagriculture.com or call 587-787-1795 to book your on location with Real Ag Radio today.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan, Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Mainly cloudy today with a high of minus 6, the wind chill minus 15. Partly cloudy tonight with a risk of freezing rain before morning, the temperature rising to minus 4. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow with snow beginning in the morning, ending in the afternoon. Risk of freezing rain in the morning with a high of 0 degrees. A mix of sun and cloud on Sunday with a high of plus 1, a low of minus 1. A Monday cloudy with a high of 6, a low minus 5. And Tuesday cloudy with a 60% chance of flurries with a high of minus 2 and a low of minus 11. Wednesday, mix of sun and cloud with a high of minus 6 and a low of minus 9. The normal high for this time of year is minus 1. The normal low is minus 11. Sun rose this morning at 8:08. It will set tonight at 5:17. In Saskatoon, it's minus 9. Weyburn and Estevan both at minus 8. In Yorkton, minus 9. In Swift Current, it's minus 5. There's a light snow shower in Moose Jaw this hour. The wind south-southeast at 17, it's minus 9. Light snow in Regina. The wind east-southeast at 14, it's minus 9. Jim Smalley's back on Monday. Until then, I'm Ryan McNally. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers. McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer is just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Adam Pacallo is back for his weekly look at the grain markets this past week.
Starting off on the canola front, pretty strong week again. January canola increasing $38 a ton approximately to new contract highs here as we're talking, sitting at $1,013 a ton. So new contract highs for January canola. And then on the December Minneapolis wheat front, a similar story. Last week we saw new all-time highs, a fairly big sell-off today, and this week we have seen a bit of a recovery, up approximately 53 cents a bushel on the week for December Minneapolis wheat. So both grains and grains in general here this week have been trending nicely higher.
And what were the factors for moving these prices?
Let's touch base on a couple things. The first is that soybean oil recovered really from the lows kind of seen here kind of early this week. December meal actually experienced the highest close since September 13th. So really a recovering kind of soy complex we have seen a little bit this week. And I think that's been supportive for canola. When it comes to canola as well too, though, I think the main factor is still just the significant speculative buying on that market. Canola is relatively small compared to, let's say, soybean futures trading-wise, so volume-wise. And right now, it seems that there really isn't a lack of buying. I have heard that commercials have, I would say, slowed down a little bit in their buying. So we might see canola start to pause here a little bit, but for the time being, the trends are still up. One thing that I'm watching quite closely here this week is that there's been a pretty big bounce higher in the U.S. dollar. And that's important to note because it's the highest level really that the U.S. dollar has been since July 2020. And that could affect, you know, grain prices in general, slowing down exports potentially in the U.S. But right now it seems that, again, trends are quite positive here for all grains. And I would say corrective sell-offs might be possibly buying opportunities for anybody that's looking to either speculate or maybe replace grain that they have sold on their farm.
That was Adam Pacallo of PI Financial with the weekly grain market recap. This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Canada's agriculture ministers have agreed to a shared vision for the next five-year agricultural policy framework, which will begin in April of 2023. The Guelph statement, named after the location of the meeting, has five priority areas, but plenty of negotiations will be needed to fill the details over the next 16 months. Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau had this to say.
This week was really to agree on the path forward. And when you read the Guelph statement, I think you can appreciate how serious we are looking forward and making sure that our Canadian agriculture is sustainable. It is absolutely critical in terms of protecting our land, soil, water, air, and having a bright future for the next generations. It is also what consumers are asking for here and abroad. So we are totally committed to be a strong partner in the fight against climate change.
Bibeau says the new round of business risk management programs could be a tool to encourage producers to move faster on new technologies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The current agricultural policy framework is a five-year, $3 billion agreement that is funded by the federal and provincial governments on a 60-40 basis. It includes programs such as AgriStability, AgriInvest, AgriRecovery, and Crop Insurance. And the countdown to Agribition is brought to you by 2S Auctioneers Online Auction House. Start bidding today at 2sauctioneers.ca. While Agribition is back after being canceled due to COVID-19 last year, the pandemic will still have a small impact on this year's show. CEO Chris Lane says they will be hosting an event they hope people can feel safe attending.
We've got a system in place here that complies with all the public health orders. So when you come onto the grounds, you'll have a chance to show your proof of vaccination record or your negative test. We'll accept both. And so I think it's important for people to know that that will happen at the gate. So give yourself a little extra time. Make sure you bring the information required with you. And then once you're inside, masks will be mandatory in public spaces. Again, all the rules that apply to sort of going out and about and living life today also enforce at Agribition.
That was Agribition CEO Chris Lane. Agribition begins November 22nd. The market update brought to you by Nelson GM and Assiniboia and Avonlea. With new inventory arriving daily, they'll find a vehicle that fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving Southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years, see Nelson GM today. And Western Ag Professional Agronomy, if you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofits.com. Durham was unchanged this morning at 707.72. Feed barley also unchanged at 383.64. Canola was up $7.20 to 984.62. Flax unchanged, 1,468.62. Lentils unchanged, 986.50. Oats unchanged, 536.53. Yellow peas unchanged, 595.75. Feed wheat unchanged, 261.65. And number one red spring wheat was up $7.63 to 456.61. The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn at 842-4574. And now the latest quotes from Yorkton.
Hello, Cattleman Jr. for Heartland Livestock of Yorkton with your market report for the week of November 10th. Nice run on offer here this week with 1823 in the pre-sort, 328 cows and bulls for a total of 2150. On the feeder market this week, it's under some pressure with the number of feeders moving across the country and the poor weather also played a role in it. Here are a few highlights of this week's sale. Buckskin steers, 437 pounds at 243, 571 weights at 201, 636 pounds at $1.95. And the buckskin steers at 715 pounds, 191.75. On the black steers, 411 pounds at 257 and a quarter, 565 weights at $1.99, 636 pounds at $1.93.50, and the black steers at 700 pounds, $1.91 and a quarter. On the red X steers, 429 pounds at 248.50, 568 weights at $1.98, 641 pounds at $1.94, and the red X steers at 710 pounds at $1.91. The heifers are still trending 25 to 35 cents back of the steers. On the cow and bull trade, seems to be trending steady to last week. We are seeing the condition on these cows and bulls getting poorer every week. 262 cows average 58.50. D1, D2 cows 53 to 63 with a high of 66.75. D3 cows 48 to 52. Light shelly cows 35 to 42. 15 bulls average 91 and a quarter with a high of $1.04 on a big exotic bull. Next week is our monthly sheep and goat and horse sale on Friday, November 19th. Receiving Thursday from 12 to 8 p.m. and Friday up until sale time. 11 a.m. sheep sale and 3 p.m. for the horse sale. Also, if you plan on attending these sales, you need to have proof of double vaccination and also sign in at the front office before entering sales ring. Producers, we will be having our first bred cow sale on Friday, November 26th. 200 head booked on already with four dispersals. Give us a call to book for this sale. Here at HLS Yorkton, we are conducting pre-sort sales right up to December 15th. Give us a call to book in your cattle. Once again, this has been Junior for HLS Yorkton. Thank you and have a great day.
And the quotes from Moose Jaw.
This is Grant Barnett with the Market Report, Heartland Livestock here in Moose Jaw. 2,500 calves here at our Tuesday, November 9th sale. Another 250 cows here on Thursday. This cow market, it looked a little stronger here this week. These good cows, 57 to 65. Medium cows, 50 to 58 bucks. The good steers, 575 and down, they sold steady, but the heavier calves, they are 2 to 3 softer here this week. Heifer calves, 5 to 700 pounds, 164 to 176. 500 pounds and down from 172 to just under 2 bucks. Here's what happened on Tuesday, 423 weight blacks at 251 and a quarter. Tri-load of black steers, 540, bring 213, another tri-load of black steers. They breed 651 at 194 on the tri-load of black steers, bring 202 at 589. 2,500 expected again here for Tuesday, November 16th. For more information, give Heartland Moose Jaw a call at 692-2385. This is Grant Barnett reporting. Let's have one great afternoon.
And now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices. Sig 4 in Brandon at $174.43 per CKG. BP 4, TCP 4 in Moose Jaw, $174.43 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report. Time now for the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. Regina City Council has approved Federated Co-op's request to purchase land north of the refinery complex. In a news release, FCL says they have plans to build a renewable diesel plant on the land. They purchased the land for $5.48 million. FCL estimates the construction of the plant will create about $1.85 billion in economic activity through job creation and spinoffs. Once it's operational, it will add 150 jobs to the economy and utilize locally grown canola as its main production feedstock. The plan is to have the facility operational by 2027. Johnson & Johnson is splitting into two companies, separating the division that sells Band-Aids and Listerine from its medical device and prescription drug business. The company selling prescription drugs and medical devices will keep Johnson & Johnson as its name. The new consumer health company will house brands such as Neutrogena, Aveeno, Tylenol, Listerine, Johnson's, and Band-Aid. It is expected to generate revenue of approximately $15 billion for the year. The name was not disclosed for the new company. Details are sparse, but Johnson & Johnson expects the split to occur over the next 2 years if approved by the company board. On the markets, the TSX is up 153 points to 21,735. The Dow is up 169 points to 36,090. Oil is down 79 cents to $80.80 U.S. per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is up 13 tenths of a cent to 79.60 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of our show, tune into the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast. It's brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. For Jim Smalley, I'm Ryan McNally.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.